Good morning, good evening, good coding campers. It's Monday, and that means it's time for MSDN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good times. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
Thank you, Eric, and I want to welcome everyone back to another exciting week of MSDN Radio. This is the radio show where developers can find out what they need to know. We've got lots of fun stuff going on. The technology world keeps changing on us. We've got new versions of browsers. We have HTML spinning around. We've got Silverlight. We've got Azure, Cloud. You can find out all about that by going out to MSDN.com and getting more information and diving into whatever topic you're interested in. Today we've got a fun show planned. We've got a lot of things to go out and talk about, but I've got with me my cohort, Mr. Mithun Dhar. Mithun, how are you doing today?
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. And I'm like Calgary or your place. Temperatures here are a little better. I think we don't have rain, and we have a little bit of sunshine and 42 degrees. I can't complain.
Sunshine and 40 degrees? What's that like?
It's pretty nice.
Well, we've got sunshine, and I think it was about 3 degrees, but that's in Fahrenheit, and that's nothing compared to where our guest is coming from. We've got joining us today John Bristow, who's a developer evangelist out of Canada.
And yes, sir.
How are you doing,
John? Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Looking forward to chatting about a bunch of stuff.
So we're gonna cover pretty much the gamut of things. If you've got anything in particular you wanted to make sure we talk about, you know, just feel free to interrupt the questions. But basically, we've got a number of things going on. I was just looking on the MSDN. .com website, and I saw that Mix is coming up. There's also a Firestarter event. There's Web Matrix that's come out. Lots of different things. So to kind of get started, you know, what have you been keeping busy with in your neck of the woods there, John?
Well, we've been really busy. We've been doing a lot of events recently. As you know, at Microsoft, when this time hits, we kind of do a recap of what we did, and then we look ahead at the next 6 months, and we've wrapped up on a whole bunch of really cool events that we've done across Canada, including Tech Days, which I think some of your international listeners might be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
This is a multi-city event run up here in Canada and other countries where we try and bring technical conference and training to the masses, so to speak. And we had a lot of great feedback from that, and we went across 8 cities across Canada, which is not an easy endeavor because it's such a big country. We had a lot of fun doing that, and we've been doing a bunch of activities around a wide range of topics, including Azure. We've been doing boot camps. We've been doing hands-on labs. We've been working with customers, trying to help them figure out what's going on there. Got a big push on Windows Phone 7. I hope you guys have yours. I've got my Samsung Focus, which I absolutely love. And we've been talking to customers as well as students and a lot of folks about Windows Phone 7, how to build apps. And the anecdotal evidence and, or rather, stories I've been given is that it's a great platform to build on. I've actually built apps for it myself. And so we've been doing a wide gamut of technologies and doing a lot of stuff in the community. It's been a lot of fun.
Actually, you mentioned future technologies, and amongst that, you know, I don't know, in the U.S. we are really focusing on IE9 and HTML5. You guys are doing quite a lot around that, correct, John?
Yeah, that's right. So we've been focused pretty heavily on getting the message out around HTML5 because, you know, we think about our developer audience and we think about the sort of concerns that they have. And one of those are, you know, how do I build a web app in a way that is taking advantage of what's coming or what's currently available, and also keeping a healthy perspective on what's there right now and what we like to term as site ready, so to speak. So we've been talking to developers a lot about HTML5. Making sure that we have a great story around interoperability and that we're also being proactive in sharing some of that information with them about what is really HTML5, what it is not, and kind of dispelling some of the misinformation that might be out there around the spec itself.
Well, I've heard that Silverlight must be dead if HTML5 exists.
Hardly not. I think people took that statement by Bob Muglia and misinterpreted it. We absolutely love Silverlight. Silverlight 5, as you know, was shared by Scott Guthrie at the Firestarter, and I think people were really excited to see what's coming. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what people can do. Been doing Silverlight development for a long time myself, but you know, there is this other thing around the web platform and the open web platform where developers want to see what's possible with specifications and standards that allow you to go beyond the plugin model. And you know, there are going to be edges where things look the same, but there are also going to be cases where things are going to be dramatically different. And it's important that people understand those differences, and that when they're looking at a model that incorporates either Silverlight or HTML5 or anything else, they need to understand that there are differences, and those differences are important.
So the HTML5 essentially gives us an entire platform programming developer surface that we can take advantage of the CPU, the GPU on the client?
Yeah, there is that element with IE9 and certainly other browsers as well. There are optional capabilities of browsers like Chrome, for example, that you can enable this hardware acceleration. But, you know, we've been very upfront with IE9 when we talk about full hardware accelerated graphics and text, where we're leveraging the full power of the PC to make sure that things run as fast as humanly possible, whether that's direct write access through text rendering. You may have noticed that if you're running IE9 beta today or one of the platform previews, that the text rendering is a lot crisper, it's a lot cleaner, it looks a lot better, actually. And also, you know, hardware-accelerated SVG for those graphics, as well as other aspects like Canvas, which is a new element found in HTML5. Mm-hmm. So a lot of great stuff going on there. But when thinking about that versus, say, another model like Silverlight, it is important to realize that there are things that are going to be different between those two technologies. So, you know, Silverlight's great if you're doing anything with streaming video, high-definition video. It's not to say you can't do the same with video on HTML5, but certainly adaptive streaming, smooth streaming, those are things that you definitely want to be looking at for Silverlight. Also, the developer tools are a little bit different. However, most people don't know this, but in SP1 beta for Visual Studio 2010, we actually built in support for HTML5 IntelliSense. So if you actually go and download and install SP1 beta for VS 2010, there's an option under the IDE options to enable validation for HTML5. It's not perfect. It's not a visual designer. And that's really where some of the differences lie, right? It's not only just the technology itself, but also the tools and the skill sets that people need to pick up these things.
You know, Mike, sorry, John, that's a good segue to one of the questions that's been lingering. So how do you juggle with so many technologies? Because obviously you're a breadth evangelist and you focus on multiple technologies.
Sure.
So in your career as an evangelist, how do you prioritize and focus on what is the next big thing that you want to learn and teach the community?
You know,
right. Well,
it's
the
fire hose, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's that classic scene in the movie UHF where the character of Michael Richards takes the kid out of the box and puts him in front of the fire hose, and then, you know, that's how you have to drink, basically, when you're a technology evangelist, it seems. Look, I think it's important that people understand that, you know, we as evangelists have to look at a variety of technologies because we have a number of different audiences that we have to talk to, whether it's an audience that's interested in cloud-based development or an audience that's looking at the web, audiences that are still building apps on the desktop. There are many, many developers building apps for Windows and WPF and WinForms and C++. And then there are also developers who kind of skirt a lot of different technologies. We have these sort of dual hatters who play two roles in the organization, one as the IT pro and one as a developer. I think all that being said, I think there are a number of processes and techniques that I employ as an evangelist to stay on top of it. Those include listening to things like podcasts, like MSDN Radio, for example. I listen to other podcasts as well, like .NET Rocks, which is one of my favorites. This Developer's Life is another one. So those ones allow me to do true multitasking. So I usually throw on my headphones, fire up my Windows Phone 7 device, and I listen to these podcasts when I'm taking my dog out for a walk or cleaning the house or anything like that. I'm trying to get maximum efficiency. Also relying on blogs and Twitter. I think those social networks have a value when it comes to learning. Spend a lot of time looking at things that are interest of me. There are also tons of aggregate blogs that you can check out. The Morning Dew is an example. There are some prominent bloggers, obviously, that you can point to who keep an eye on the scene as well. many, many sites as well. Channel 9 is another example, but MSDN and the various blogs that we have. Of course, we have our blog, and part of our motivation for maintaining it is to share that information out with our Canadian audience. But, yeah, a lot of different techniques and processes in place, email through alerts and, you know, all the other tools that are available at your disposal. Ultimately, it comes down to just making sure that you're spending the time necessary to stay up to speed on certain things, but also making sure that you reach out to the influencers that you know and asking them the questions. I have a lot of friends who are experts on things that I have absolutely no idea about, and it just takes a five-minute phone call for me to get up to speed on what's going on.
Now, before we got going on the show, we were chatting about the community and the engagement and how do you, you know, help grow the community, find new speakers, give people opportunities to participate and, you know, get credentials, et cetera. What are you doing in your neck of the woods to try to, you know, get people engaging in the technology scene?
Right. So we do that in a number of different ways. We have a number of different programs that we run in Canada to try and engage the local community. But there are also mechanisms that we employ as well in the Canadian marketplace to try and encourage others to extend out that reach. So, for example, we work very closely with user groups to try and let them know that, hey, there are opportunities to interface with your schools, to talk to students about technologies, technologies you'll find on DreamSpark, for example. We also encourage user group members, for example, or leaders, to change things up. So a lot of people typically in a local area will be nervous about delivering a 60, 75-minute presentation. So we encourage them, for example, might not break that up into five mini-presentation chunks so that people get a taste for what's involved and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
One of the programs that we ran recently was through, as I said before, Tech Days. We had a track called Local Flavors where we had a number of different speakers who have never presented before, you know, give a presentation on the things that they love. And I think what it really ultimately comes down to is just finding what they're interested in and kind of just being there to help assist them along the way. Giving a technical presentation is not easy. It certainly is a little bit more challenging than just giving the what people think of as the canonical presentation, podium, notes, microphone, et cetera. But the technical presentation, now you've got a demo involved, and there are many things, there are many pitfalls and traps you can fall into. So it's not easy, but we work very hard in our community to try and make sure that for those folks who are trying to make that effort, who are trying to, you know, get out there and share with their community, that we support them,
mm-hmm.
not only through Tech Days, but in a number of different ways as well. Another, go ahead.
No, I was just asking which big events you're attending in the next, you know, 5 or 6 months if our audience are supposed to meet you or if they plan on catching you somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So up here in Canada, I spend a lot of my time in Canada. I do frequent international events from time to time, like the Tech Eds and the PDCs and things like that. Have a great time at those. And I find that those conferences provide great value because the really good conversations are the ones that occur in the hallways. And the sessions, technical sessions aside, I find that really connecting with people and having those conversations are great. MIX is coming up, as you guys know, April, I believe, 12th to the 14th, and go to visitmix.com if you want to check that out. That's usually a really good conference for web developers and designers who want to see what's going on there. In terms of Canada, we've got a lot of third-party events that are coming up. We've got Confu, which is in March in Montreal. It's a web developer conference. We've got the Interlink conference in Vancouver later this summer. We've got a conference called Make Web Not War. If you go to makewebnotwar.ca, this is an event that's coming to Vancouver in April. And, you know, we've got all these events that are going on, and they do cater to the local community. Rather than having this sort of big bang conference approach, you've got a number of different ones. Some examples include Prairie DevCon. Prairie Dev Conference is a conference that occurs in Regina, Saskatchewan, you know, not the first place that people think of when they think of a big conference, but it's a great conference helped organize by Darcy Lussier and others, and they do a wonderful job bringing a Western Canadian presence and feel to something like that. We've also got DevTeach, which is a local Canadian conference as well. It's happening in Montreal, and it's been going on for many, many years. It's actually highly touted amongst international speakers. So Canada's got a really good reputation for hosting some really good conferences. not only just Microsoft-focused, but also community-focused.
Getting out and just kind of participating, being a part of everything.
Exactly, yeah. And as I said before, being part of those conversations, both online and in person, is really helpful. And if you're a developer listening to this and you're kind of thinking, how can I improve my skills or get myself out there, conferences are one way to do that. And, you know, there are a number of tips and tricks you can follow when attending a conference. But, you know, getting yourself out there and attending these things, they are worth your investment in your time because you never know who you're going to meet, and you'll never know what you'll maybe pick up and learn that you can apply to your job today.
And, John, there's a question from Kevin. He's tweeted us, and he says, hey, your job sounds like a lot of fun. How do I get into evangelism? What are the core skills I need to learn? I am in school right now.
That's a great question. We get that question a lot. In fact, our group is part of a group called DPE, which stands for Developer and Platform Evangelism. There are many different companies that have evangelists. So, for example, in Google, they have what are called as advocates, developer advocates. It's the same sort of idea. Basically, you are a face to in the case of my job, you are the face to Microsoft for many communities, and that means you have many different roles and responsibilities to help out individuals in the community. As far as being a student and getting yourself out there, I have a lot of things that I tell students when they're looking at getting involved in an industry, but particularly for an evangelist, there are some important things to know. First of all, an evangelist is one of those things where it's kind of bridging between an art and a science. There are natural abilities that an evangelist tends to have, which is, you know, they're very social people. They like to put themselves out there. They like to help and teach others. These are qualities that I think most people who want to be involved in that sort of role need to have when coming to a position such as this. There, you know, the technical skills aside, I mean, there's obviously an assumption that you're going to be very passionate about what you do and that you like to talk about it and that you're keeping your skills up to date. But there are certain little je ne sais quoi sort of abilities that that an evangelist has as far as, you know, connecting, making connections and helping share stories in the community. One thing I would absolutely make sure that your listeners be aware of is that, you know, when you're a student today, you do have the ability, you know, one of these conundrums that students face is, you know, I come out of school and I've got no experience. And it's really frustrating because, you know, I go to apply for a job and they say you need at least, and this is one that kills me, is like you need at least 10 years of .NET experience. And you're like, .NET hasn't been out that long, you know, like, so there's these sort of frustration points. As a student, you do owe it to yourself to make sure that you take an investment in your career. And by doing so, what that means is you are building up experience and insights into what's happening in this industry. The work that you do in classes, let's assume you're a computer science student. I was a computer science student myself. You're taking classes. You're doing projects. That is, you know, these are items you can put into your virtual portfolio, and I'm using air quotes when I say that, to show to a potential employer. If you don't have a website, get one up. It takes like $5 to register a domain name. Put it up on anything that's out there, whether it's WordPress or Tumblr or, you know, get a site that's up there that is evangelizing your passion and skills for software development or anything that's technically focused. I think a lot of people, when they look at the work that an evangelist does, one of the things you have to realize is that we really do put ourselves out there, and we have an opinion, and we try and help people. And if you're a student today looking to get involved in this industry, one of the things that most employers will do is they will search for your name, your job application come in. So these are very important things to realize when coming out of school. Don't just assume that you're not building up experience or insights when you're in an academic study. You do have those abilities, and it is important for you to make sure you share those.
And passion, I think, is also another very important thing. You, like, regardless whether you work for Google, Microsoft, Adobe, or whichever company, you know, be
right.
Sure to like the platform that you want to evangelize. It makes your job a whole lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think you know, when I first joined Microsoft, which was in 2005, I joined right when the SQL, that we had the Ready to Rock launch. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was the coordinated launch of SQL Server 2005, Visual Studio 2005, and BizTalk Server 2006. You talk about drinking from the fire hose, man. But I joined Microsoft for a number of different reasons, but primarily for The primary reason why I joined Microsoft was because I absolutely loved what DevDiv was doing around Visual Studio and .NET, and I had a passion for that already. And so, you know, my former boss, Mark Ralph, who's now in Redmond, when he approached me and said, you know, you're doing this RD thing, the Microsoft Regional Director Program thing, you're an MVP, how would you like to join DPE and start evangelizing the platform to the Canadian audience? I'm like, where can I sign? It was one of those things where I was like, no, I absolutely want to do this. And it was one of those things where as much as I enjoyed my work as a software developer, my passion was in connecting with people, sharing stories, helping others, blogging, putting myself out there, connecting with folks, making sure that people in the community felt supported. And, you know, I like to help others, so I guess that's part of it. But certainly my passion aligns well with what we're doing these days. And it feels better and better each and every week, each and every month, each and every year at Microsoft in terms of where we're going from a development platform perspective. You know, we've got great things lining up with Visual Studio. You know, the analogy that Scott Hanselman makes is the Lego pieces are starting to fit together really, really nicely. Mm-hmm. You see that evidence by ASP.NET MVC3. You see that evidence with things like Web Matrix. You see that evidence with things like Visual Studio 2010. There's a phenomenal amount of excitement amongst developers not just in Canada, but around the world around Visual Studio 2010. I speak to customers every day who are like, you know, we're running 2008, 2005, and then they kind of, you know, pull me aside, you know, but we really want to go to 2010, you know. So that's just tremendously exciting, and I get a kick out of it. It's great.
All you can say is, hey, why don't you move, and then you can always support the backwards, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. Technology keeps evolving so fast. It's like, okay, what's the next big thing?
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's one of the things that we hear often from developers, which is the pace of change is too much. And I agree. It's part of my job and my team's job to make sure that we help them manage that pace of increasing change. Mm-hmm. And it's tough, I'll admit it. And there are ways in which you can keep on top of it. But, you know, our job is to make sure that not only do we help developers with that in Canada, but also making sure that we are seen and Microsoft is seen as a partner in their success.
Right.
So whether it comes to skill-based development or career-based development or connections in the community, we want to make sure that we are seen as a partner in their success so that when we ask them, you know, they're asked the question, how satisfied are you with Microsoft, they can say unequivocally, very satisfied with Microsoft because I feel like they're a partner in my success.
Mm-hmm. So what else? What else is going on? Are you going to be going to, or what's the big word coming out about Mix in the next upcoming conferences?
Well, Mix looks exciting. You know, I'm a big fan of Mix. I think Mix is an interesting take on conferences. It's a little bit smaller, so if you're kind of into that more smaller conference as opposed to, say, for example, PDC or TechEd, you know, last PDC notwithstanding, of course, then, you know, Mix might be for you. It's in Las Vegas, which I hear is beautiful. I've never been there, but here it's, you know, the weather's great and the hotels are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you...
Sorry, I was just saying if you register by Feb 11th, there's a $500 discount and you get a free night stay.
Wow, there you go.
I thought I'd put a plug.
You can use that $400 to what, gamble, I guess? Like, is that what they do in Vegas?
You know, yeah, kind of.
They do gambling?
Yeah, that's right. Excellent. So, yeah, we've got Mix coming up, and I've already listed some of the conferences we have in Canada that are coming up, which is great. You know, and I would say that just keep an eye. One way to keep abreast of all these things that are occurring is to obviously subscribe to the MSDN Flash. For your listeners in the U.S., they obviously have a great MSDN Flash. We have a great one here up in Canada as well. There are localized versions of the MSDN Flash that you can subscribe to. And I encourage you as the listener to subscribe because in addition to the editor's notes that we include, we also list a bunch of events that are coming up, news and information that you need in order to stay on top of whether it's career or technical skills, mm-hmm. As along with events information like Mix, et cetera. So lots of great stuff happening there, which is I'm really looking forward to it. And it's one of those things where you kind of plan out your conference schedule, and you're like, man, I'm really busy. I have two young boys, and it's always hard to kind of have that work-life balance. But, you know, these conferences are really exciting. I mean, lots of great stuff. And MIX always turns out to be a real crowd pleaser. People really enjoy going to MIX.
They got the MIX, and then, of course, Tech Ed's coming up then in May, which is going to be down in Atlanta this year.
That's right. Yep.
So the MIX being the designer and the web kind of development-ish kind of a conference, and then
that's
Tech
right.
Ed being the IT pro plus, you know, some of the development plus some of the other stuff.
Yeah. Tech Ed is significantly larger and has been for many years. I've been going to Tech Ed since, gosh, I think the late 90s, and always been impressed by Tech Ed. It's always a lot of fun to see people and faces and that you know in the community. And, you know, the technical sessions aside, it's, as I said before, it's great to have those hallway conversations with folks around things that they're doing. But, of course, up here in Canada, we got our Make Web Not War. We've got Kung Fu. We've got a bunch of other events that are occurring. We've also got events for students. So, for example, later today I'm actually going to the University of Calgary to talk to students as part of a tour called Go Dev Mental around Windows Phone 7. And, you know, we do these events as part of our team to engage the local developer audience, whether it's technical professionals or whether they're folks in schools and academic regions. So we do a lot of stuff. And for your listeners, you know, obviously DP does a lot of stuff on a local, regional level, whether it's Azure Bootcamp or, you know, the Silverlight sort of Firestarter type events. And then your local user group community does a lot of stuff as well. So in addition to subscribing to MSDN Flash and doing those things that I mentioned earlier, make sure you get involved with your local user group. It's a great way to connect with folks, and you'll find you'll get a lot of information and value out of those things. It is worth the two-hour, three-hour investment you make once a month to go out, and better yet, do even more, like participate. It's one of those things where if you give back, you'll get a lot in return. And I think my experience based off of that is certainly a testament. You know, I used to live in Australia a while back and helped co-found the Melbourne.net user group and got an immense amount of value just by helping folks and connecting people. You know, and then I moved to Chicago and was an attendee of the Chicago.net user group. It's a great user group. And I've always found that user groups are just one of those hidden gems in the community that people don't sometimes realize is available to them.
The unique, cool things to be able to go out and see, do, and everything else is always fun, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And to the point that the student made earlier about, you know, how do I become an evangelist? Well, one of the ways you can actually learn is to go out to your local user group. Trust me, they're not going to care if you're a student. They want you to come out. Invite your classmates. Invite your teacher. Invite your whole class. Get them to come out to the user group. And you'll see the people who are there who are talking to each other. You'll see the people who are presenting. It's a great untapped resource. And usually, you know, as a starving student myself back in the day, they usually have free pizza. So there you go. You get a dinner out of it.
Pizza is always good.
Can't go wrong. Hey, John, what's your blog?
I have two locations that I blog, but the one that I want to point people to is the Canadian Developer Connection. This is the number one resource. If you're a Canadian, you're a developer, we want you to subscribe. It's blogs.msdn.com/cdndevs. And there what we do is we publish pretty much on a daily basis news and information that folks need. We're getting a little crowded in our site banner there. It's starting to look like shuffling buddies, but we got a lot of folks who are actively participating there. We're looking at evolving this blog a little bit as we go forward, but we try very, very hard to keep this up to date on a daily basis and giving the news and information that people need in the community to make sure they're successful.
And your Twitter is?
Jay Bristow.
Okay.
Yep.
And Bristow with an E.
That's right. People often get that wrong. I have the Griswold last name. You know how in the National Lampoon's movie series they always screw up his surname. I've got one of those last names that people always misspell. So it's J-B-R-I-S-T-O-W-E.
There we go. Well, John, we really appreciate you coming on the show this week. It's been interesting to hear. You know, it's a lot the same. It's a lot different. But you know, we got a lot to learn from each other. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone, any of your listeners in the U.S., feel free, like they need to take a trip up north. We're welcoming people. We may have some cold weather, but we're friendly, and feel free to come on up.
We'd love to get up there.
Excellent.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. We've covered a lot of ground. It's been exciting. We've had some good talk about technology and evangelism. Mithun, you got anything you want to say?
No, absolutely that. For people watching waiting for the SharePoint Firestarter, the videos are on. Just go to Channel 9, do a search for SPFS. All the recordings are out for the SharePoint Firestarter event that we did.
Sounds great. And John, any last words?
No, just happy coding and subscribe to the Flasher blog. And, my one parting word is, give back. Give back to that community and you'd be amazed on what you get in return.
You heard it here. Happy coding, campers. We'll talk to you next time. This is MSDN Radio, and I'm Mike Bankovich. We'll see you next week.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to MSDNradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding.